I just got back from Sophia's Christmas party in her classroom.
How was that?
Yeah, it was fun. I've never been to a party as a parent, so that was a new experience. Mm. It basically consisted of me sitting on the floor next to her chair while she ate snacks.
Yeah, it's. I really hated those. At least
I assume there's
school.
At least going to be like games or something.
No.
But there was not.
It used to be that the parents would like set up the room and then we would stand around awkwardly watching our kids eat.
Yeah, that's pretty much what happened. there were a couple parents who got there early and they set up the room and we came in and we got to like be with our kids. So I like sat on the floor next to her
and watched her eat
and opened her, you know, yogurt thing and whatever. And so I basically parented my child.
Yeah.
You're welcome.
But it was festive.
But it was a party.
Right. It was a party.
All right, well, welcome back to the Beyond Sunday podcast. We're exploring how to take our faith beyond Sunday morning. This is Patrick Nazaroff with me as always, Pastor David Bowser.
How are you doing, Patrick?
And Elise McCarter.
Still here, still pretty successful.
And Merry Christmas, everyone. Yes. Coming out the week of Christmas.
All right.
So we're pretty excited
In the countdown. We're like T-minus 4 days, something like that.
Yes. If you have not done your Christmas shopping,
it's too late.
This is your sign.
This is it.
Yeah.
Get it in.
And there's a supply shortage, so.
Good luck.
Right.
You're probably not going to be able to order stuff on Amazon.
Listen, Christmas is going to come whether you have a present for somebody or not, right. So it's going to be fine.
Yes. Right. This year is just coming with disappointment.
That might. You never know.
You know. Hey, look, let's get used to this, kids.
Wouldn't it be ironic if our children were better prepared for the world because they were disappointed on Christmas this year?
Yeah.
It's a strategy, I guess. But
it is a strategy.
Let me ask, do you have any, you know, Christmas traditions you do every year?
We're still kind of establishing Christmas traditions. Right now, most of our tradition centers around when are we flying back to see family.
Sure.
Yeah, that's most of our tradition.
Yeah.
And you preach like 14 services in one day.
I do that. Yeah, yeah. That's less of a tradition. But I mean, it is something that happens every year.
They
so I guess
pay me for this.
By definition, that's a tradition. But yeah. It used to be my tradition to preach on the fourth Sunday of Advent and use a video clip from Christmas Vacation.
I remember that.
But that doesn't happen anymore.
You're not doing that this year?
Well, Mr. Patrick just preached yesterday on the fourth Sunday of Advent.
Yes.
Huh.
Yesterday, as of release, not as of right now. Yesterday was Tuesday.
Right.
Is what's going through release.
What happened, Pastor Dave?
Now I get the Merry Sunday.
That's right.
Because I did it last year, too. So
you
got the Merry Sundays before.
I did.
No, I get... Well, and conveniently enough, we're all talking about Mary today.
That's right. But tragically, Patrick has not kept up the tradition of using a Christmas Vacation clip.
I've not. I did not use a Christmas clip last year. I don't think I'm going to use one yesterday. This is recorded before before I actually do preach.
I don't think I used one yesterday. I don't remember.
I might have. I can't
Who can say if I used one yesterday or not?
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe I'll find my own like Christmas movie that I want to use.
Do your thing. Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Gremlins.
There you go.
That's a spoiler alert for next week.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So we have a unique event here.
It's
And by unique, it's been happening twice this month.
Yeah.
We have a treat.
Another tasting treat.
Yes.
Yeah, this one not sent in by a listener. Yeah. This is my homemade eggnog from a recipe I found online.
Okay.
And so we're going to try it because here's what happened. Patrick like dogged on eggnog. And I was like, okay, what's really in eggnog? Because I know that people make it. And I was like, what's in it? And I looked it up and I was like, okay, this is basically just ice cream that hasn't been frozen. How bad can it be?
Right.
And so I decided to make it.
So we're going to find out.
We're going to find
out.
How
bad is it?
I think it's delicious. I've already tried it.
This is alcohol free though.
This is alcohol free.
Okay.
So if you're looking for that kick of bourbon or rum or whatever other alcohol you might like to put in your eggnog, you're going to have to do that. Not while we're recording this podcast.
Okay. So we are going to pause this. We're going to try our eggnog, and then we'll come back with our review.
All right.
Pausing. And we're back.
Okay. I love it. I mean, granted, I made it, so whatever.
I was going to say, some self-promotion.
All right, Elise, what do you think of the eggnog?
So it reminds me, what we just said, is this reminds me of bourbon milk punch, which I make pretty frequently and love. So I think we all agreed it's a little bit on the thick side for a beverage, but the bourbon would thin it out.
A little bit more, yep.
Yeah, so we're...
But I'm good either way, because I'm telling you, it's just drinking ice cream, and I'm fine with that.
I mean, can I say that it would be better if it was boozy on this?
Yeah, you
podcast?
Can say that.
Okay,
you can say that, yeah.
I'm not going to erase it, so... Oh, David's refilling his cup.
Seconds, yeah.
You want some more?
Yeah. So in case you did not get enough of David chewing fruitcake, here's him drinking.
Hey, I never chewed into the microphone, all right?
Okay. All right. Well, it's there. Yeah, the taste is not terrible. I will say that. It is fine. I don't think it's great. To me, it doesn't really quite taste like ice cream. It tastes more like if you ate like a sugary cereal and then drank the milk afterwards, I would say that's probably what it tastes like. But if that milk was super thick, like if you just like dumped a thickening agent into it, you know, and that's what you're drinking. So the consistency is not great for me because it's not a milkshake. It's but it's like
but it could make a real good milkshake.
But it's in between a drink and a milkshake.
What is a nog technically? Yeah. Do you know this now?
I looked this up on Wikipedia.
Okay. Yeah, we talked about this the other day.
And I don't remember exactly, but it was basically a shortened form of the word grog.
Oh. Yeah.
For like booze.
Not that much shorter than grog.
Not like shortened, but like a, I don't know, colloquialism for grog. Yeah.
Nice.
I will say.
Because it used to be called an egg and grog is what the eggnog was from. So, an egg and grog.
Okay.
I will say, eggnog, you got some branding issues. Get rid of the egg part of your drink, and I think you're going to be a lot more popular.
Right. People will buy in better.
Yeah.
Milk nog.
Sure.
I feel like the nog is what makes it weird.
I think it's the egg, personally. Yeah. Maybe just nog. I mean, like, you want some nog? I mean, that sounds like we're surfers. You know?
Right.
Yeah. Like, hey, bro.
Some sort of drug that I'm
you
not supposed to
have. You want
some
nog?
My parents are out of town. Mm-hmm. Got some nog.
It's mostly funny because your parents are actually leaving tomorrow.
You know,
break out the nog.
I'm older than y'all, so I was, you know, a teenager in the 90s. And so I've.
The 1890s.
So, I mean, I remember all the, like, the Say No to Drugs campaign, probably clearer. But there was a lot of, like, people in your life are just going to show up and be like, do you want drugs?
Yeah.
You need to be prepared. Like, nobody's ever done that for me. Like, it just never happened. Like,
no one has ever, like, shown up and said, hey, do you want some of this? No one's ever done that?
If you're in a situation where drugs are present, that may be a thing. But I'm not, like, walking down the street and some dude just jumps out. I'm like, drugs?
Have you seen that thing where people are like, I really thought that quicksand was going to be, like, more of a thing in my life than it is? That's sort of how I feel about drugs as well. Like, they're just not. It's not really relevant for me in my
life. Quicksand and drugs, two things we've not really had to face.
Right.
The way that our childhood would have had us believe.
But just say no to either. Right.
Just say no to quicksand. Okay. Yeah.
So this is also a call ahead. We recorded a little bit out of order, but I got some news for us here.
Oh, the news.
This is a call ahead?
Yeah, because next week we're going to like reference some stuff that I'm going to reference now. So it's like, we're setting things up.
Quite the time warp. Okay. Yeah. I'm ready.
Yeah. Well, you can appreciate this without even listening next week. But except for maybe Elise.
But you should listen next week.
But Elise has, I think, some stuff, you know, some unresolved tension here for this thing here.
Okay. Do I? Okay.
Yeah. Let's definitely break that down on the podcast.
Mom hires Grinch to bring festive fun. Instead, he destroys her house.
Okay.
It's because Elise has a crush on the Grinch.
Right. Which you'll find out next week.
Yeah. Which she talks about next week. Yeah. There you go. So a mom, this is in Ireland. She paid about $150 for an actor to come dressed as the Grinch to play some pranks on her two kids.
Did she actually get a leprechaun?
The Grinch is not a leprechaun.
Well, but leprechauns are Irish. And so maybe maybe it was a trick.
That's possible.
Why not? I mean, I guess it could have been two, like stacked together.
One standing on the other. Yes. Yeah.
That'd be a good trick. Right. No one would see it coming.
I don't think she saw this coming. Yeah. So the idea was he was going to come, mess up a couple of beds, start a pillow fight, adorn the Christmas tree with toilet paper, and then pose for a few pictures. You know, like, hey, some elf on the shelf shenanigans.
Right.
You know, like some basic, you know, hey, a little bit of mischief, but not too bad, right? How do you think? Would you think Greg or Sophia, how would they respond to the Grinch coming in?
Sophia would not dig it.
I think like a strange adult man coming into the house.
Yep. Not a
messing up. Yeah. Yeah.
A strange green man.
Right.
Right. Or maybe two stacked on top of each other, which would also not improve the situation.
Yeah. Yeah. Instead, this Grinch, every single bit of their party food, they had a party set up, expensive cupcakes all thrown on the floor and stepped on. All the tree decorations broke.
Oh my goodness.
He took a bottle of liquid soap, poured it all over their house.
That's funny.
Smashed her eggs into the carpet.
Oh.
And then poured a bottle of juice all over her kid.
On the kid?
Yes.
Wait, this all happened while they were in the house?
Yes.
Like nobody stopped him and said, like.
Right.
Well, I don't know what you're supposed to do with this, right? I guess like
you paid like this man to do this.
This is just
basically
two leprechauns stacked on top of each other. You can take them. Like, just.
Well, this is in Ireland, too. If this is in Texas, Grinch getting shot. Right. Well, yeah. the Grinch. Hey, that's a stand my ground law. This castle rules
yeah.
right here.
Even though you invited this man into your house, yeah. Right. Somehow you're still legally allowed to shoot them. Yeah.
Look, you invite him in and they start throwing your eggs under the carpet, all bets are off, Grinch. Okay.
You gonna die.
So how do you feel?
I feel like at some point someone could have intervened and prevented some of this damage from happening.
Like, yeah, like what's happening? Is anybody like,
when the first cupcake hits the ground.
Excuse me, Mr. Grinch. Could we
Grinch
not put
don't
the
care. If this is leading you to this thinking, you know, somebody saying, I'd rather you not do that. Like, that's not going to mean a thing to the Grinch here.
Man, tackle that Grinch. Take him down.
Take down the Grinch. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
First get out that cell phone because that'll be viral in moments.
Well, here you go. We don't have a cell phone video, but we do have like photos of kind of the shenanigans. It looks, you know, pretty rough.
Photo of the person?
I do not have a photo of the Grinch. Well, oh, at least has a crush on the Grinch. So,
I want to see.
What's that Grinch look like? Right.
Maybe he could have come over and smashed some cupcakes.
Pass on his information.
He's in Ireland, so I mean, that's the thing.
Well, you know, commute.
Yeah. So, some of the tweets about this, you know, a lot of people thinking, this is amazing. Super funny that the Grinch is out there. Doing some Grinch stuff. This seems less Grinch and more Cat in the Hat. If you're looking for a Dr. Seuss character.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, the Grinch is not about mischief. He's more about meanness.
Right. That's sort of just like chaotic evil.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm not a fan. I don't like it.
Chaotic evil, Dungeons and Dragons.
There you go. Yes. There's that reference for
you. I don't like it. Don't like it at all.
You don't like Dungeons and Dragons?
Oh, I was actually talking about the Grinch doing this stuff. Yeah. I don't like that. I have no opinion on Dungeons and Dragons.
I mean, the eggs in the carpet, I think, would be.
Yeah. So here's a picture of the house, you know, after the Grinch.
Yeah. No good.
Done with it.
So like, how do you just stand there and let that happen?
And here's the kid.
How are you just thinking like, well, I paid him.
I paid
him $150 bucks.
The kid's probably had a blast.
Yeah.
I don't care. Like, yeah, pour stuff on the kid. That's funny. Right. That's not a big deal. But like, I can shower off a kid. Right. I can't shower off my house and replace expensive cupcakes. Seriously, even the Grinch should appreciate a cupcake.
No. Well, when we hire a Grinch to come to your house, we'll give him specific instructions.
Yeah.
That he may pour juice on Sophia and William.
That's right. But do not smash
the cupcakes.
Cupcakes are off limits.
Right. Hard rules.
All right, so let's get into, let's talk about Mary.
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 Mary, which Mary?
Mother of
Mary,
Jesus.
Mary, did you know?
I didn't know. Is that what we're talking about today?
Did you know Mary?
Right.
Do you know the Muffin Man?
Yes. When you find yourself in times of trouble, Mother Mary comes to you.
Sure.
Speaking
it comes
words
to me.
Of wisdom.
Like the fairy godmother?
Let it be.
He's quoting the Beatles.
The Beatles, yeah.
That's
Sir John Lennon.
B-tracks.
That's definitely not a B-track.
Is that John Lennon or is that
that's
Paul
McCartney.
Paul McCartney.
And I think it's about his mom.
Sir.
Named Mary.
Paul McCartney.
Yeah. Not the Virgin Mary.
You sure?
Yeah, pretty sure. All right.
Because he's not Catholic. That's why Patrick's sure.
Because I'm not Catholic or
Paul
McCartney's?
Paul McCartney's not Catholic.
Is he Catholic? I don't know.
I don't believe so.
I don't know anything about their religious beliefs.
He was British, so it is less likely that he's Catholic.
That's true. Church of England.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Anglican. Yes. Maybe it's about the Queen Mother.
Maybe.
Yeah. But her name was not Mary when he was
there's probably out. Mary, Queen of Scots. I mean, like.
It's a sore subject in England.
Not
sure
the same thing.
There's definitely been a Queen Mary.
There has been.
Yeah.
You know, there you go. We're definitely getting off the rails here.
It's a good start.
This is, yeah.
It's Christmas time. We've all had some...
Some nog.
Some eggnog.
Some nog. Yes. All right. So let's talk about Mary, Mother of Jesus.
All right. All right.
What are our thoughts on Mary? Let's get into it real quick.
She's great.
Yeah.
For the...
Seems important.
For the, you know, one gospel that talks about her at length. Seems pretty cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, obviously, in the Catholic tradition, they have a very high view of Mary.
What we call a Mariology.
Ooh.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, that's our word of the day, folks. Take that one home. Put it in your calendar for the new year.
Do they call it that or do we call it that?
No, they call it that. Mariology. Yeah, Mariology. So, like, your Christology is how you think about and understand Christ or Jesus as the Christ. Yeah. And your Mariology is how you understand Mary within the context of theology and the study of Mary as a religious figure. Yeah.
Okay. To the point where, I mean, the Catholic tradition will have Mary has her own Immaculate Conception.
Yeah.
Where she is born without original sin imprinted on her.
It's a really important day, too. Like, it just happened. It was like December 6th, 12th, something like that.
7th, I think, this year.
Sure. One of those.
Why not? I don't know.
It was a day recently. It happened.
Yeah. It was a day.
None of us are Catholic or, you know, Latin American, so it's not a particularly big thing for us.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then they even have, you know, prayers.
Mm-hmm.
Involving Mary.
Yep.
Probably most famous, Hail Mary, full of grace.
There's that one.
The Lord is with me.
You got it.
And then it keeps going into some other directions.
I think it's the Lord is with thee.
Sure.
Because I think you're praying to Mary because God is with her, not because God is with you.
Yeah.
Oh, that would make sense.
I think.
Yeah. My knowledge of the Hail Mary solely comes from movies. That's so like,
probably from horror movies.
Yes. It's so like this from is, the Exorcist. This is right. All I know is you go to confession, you say you did the bad thing, and they're like, say 10 Hail Marys.
Yeah.
You're like, cool. So like, that's my entire knowledge of the prayer.
Yep.
And then the first line from movies. Yeah. Yep. So, all right. So I think sometimes because the Catholics have such a high view of Mary,
mm-hmm.
Protestants can overcorrect and kind of like be like,
meh,
no Mary at all.
Right.
Except in our nativity, she's there, but that's it.
That's right.
Yep. Like,
maybe we talk about her on the fourth Sunday of Advent.
Maybe we do. Like I did yesterday.
Like you did yesterday. Maybe.
With or without a movie.
With or without a movie.
Tough to say.
Probably not at this stage in the game.
Right.
Who's to say?
Yeah. No one knows.
All right. So I think sometimes we could talk about Mary more. Mary is a very important figure in the life of Jesus, especially the early life of Jesus,
mm-hmm.
And has some beautiful things to say in Luke's gospel.
Yeah.
So let's.
But I think that's why we don't talk about her much, because she only says it in Luke's gospel.
Yeah.
And she's really only a figure through like chapter 2.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then she makes like in John's gospel, she makes a little appearance at the crucifixion, and she like pops in and out here and there, but like it's Luke 2, a little bit of Luke 1. That's mm-hmm. where Mary is.
Yeah.
And so as far as like the arc of the Jesus story, right, she has roughly the same timeline as John the Baptist, except that John the Baptist is in all four gospels and she's not. So I think we have downplayed it. We probably could talk about it more,
mm-hmm.
but it's not without reason that we've downplayed it.
For sure. Yeah. For sure. Yeah. After Jesus
becomes like to justify myself. That's
a
all.
Child, she's got, you should listen to him about making wine.
Yep.
She's got, she shows up at some place and Jesus is like, nah.
Yeah. Like, you're not my family.
And doesn't talk to her and says like, yeah, my real family is those who do the will of God. I'm like, this is weird.
Yeah.
This is a weird thing.
Seems rude, Jesus.
Yeah.
And then she's at the crucifixion.
Yep.
And she gets a new son.
Yep.
John. Kind of an interesting.
Well, the disciple whom Jesus loved. Maybe John.
Probably John.
Maybe John.
That's probably John.
Is it like really up for debate?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
We'll get to that when we get to John's gospel. That's another episode.
They have like a little like hot and cold thing.
It's more complicated than that. We'll get into it when we get to John's gospel.
Can't wait.
I think it's John. But anyway, okay.
Patrick might be wrong.
First time for everything.
Look, he thought that eggnog was disgusting and he was wrong. Okay. So, you know, there's.
I love a biblical debate.
Sure.
I love a gray area.
Do you?
Okay, let's get back to Mary. Let's get back to Mary.
It just felt sarcastic. That's
all right. So this Christmas, how should we be viewing Mary?
Anybody else singing the song as soon as Patrick says this Christmas? This Christmas.
It's definitely last Christmas. Yeah.
Yeah. So I don't know what song you're singing, right.
But there's a song about this. Like I don't know. Doesn't matter. Okay.
Are you saying, Mary. Is there a Christmas song?
No, there's...
Yes.
In that song somewhere, they say something about this Christmas.
Yeah, sure. This year.
You're waiting until the 28th of December to start singing that song.
What,
so.
What do you got? You're holding a Bible in your hand. Are you going to thump me with
it? Yes, I might. It's about to go all Saint Nick here on you. So.
Yeah, I'm ready.
Okay.
Give me some presents and then punch a heretic.
All right, so let's open up some Mary and let's talk about her a bit.
Okay.
Okay. As I flip through my Bible, which everybody likes, go to Luke.
I like that you had it bookmarked, but not to the page.
This was just in there. Okay? Oh, okay. I just found this as I was flipping it, and it just sounded. I'm like, let's use it as a bookmark.
It did seem like you had it bookmarked it to the wrong page. I'm
okay,
just
why don't you enjoy your nog?
I am.
Yeah,
mine's gone. Maybe I should refill.
Maybe, maybe. All right. So Mary's probably most famous or important. I don't know how you want to phrase this. She sings a song.
She does.
And it's a really cool song.
It is a very cool song.
Are you going to sing it?
Mary, I think did you know?
That's
did she sing that song?
It's Mary Had a Little Lamb. That's what she called baby Jesus.
I had a little lamb.
He's like, you're my little lamb. I mean, it's not theologically incorrect.
Right.
So.
Nailed it. Right. Good work, Mary.
Fleece, white as snow. Again, not theologically incorrect. Like, I think it's all there.
A little weird that Jesus followed her to school one day, but whatever. We can get through it.
That's great. She's going to school. You know,
good for Mary.
She's going back to university after being a mom.
Yes.
I love it. Yeah. Good for Mary.
Yeah. Chase your dreams, girl.
Yes,
don't put it
queen.
All on your kids.
Wow. All All right, new rule. We're not allowed to record the week before Christmas. We, I know. we clearly cannot handle this.
We are all kinds of delusional.
All right, let's go. Mary, sing the song.
So we call it the Magnificat.
We
Why do we call it that?
I don't know.
Okay, there you go. I appreciate the honesty.
Because we can't spell magnificent.
Yeah, I mean, I think Magnificat is Latin, probably for something like magnificent. I don't know for sure, but yeah. You read it. I'll look it up. We'll do some on-air research here.
Okay. So I'll give you some backstory. Mary gets pregnant with Jesus and then immediately goes to like visit her cousin-ish, a relative, Elizabeth. We don't really know if they're cousins or not. And she stays with her for 3 months. So this seems like a little bit of like a kind of a scandal to
right,
have Mary
like
get pregnant.
Get shipped off to the relatives in the countryside.
Yeah. Get sent off to boarding school to, you know, hide the pregnancy for a little bit. But Elizabeth is also pregnant. I mean, what you got for us?
So Magnificat comes from the Latin of the first line of the song. So the first line is My soul magnifies the Lord, or in Latin, Magnificat anima mea dominum.
So magnifies.
Yeah, magnifies. Yep. Or magnify. Yep.
Awesome. There you go.
That's cool.
But it's actually about magnifying God, not about magnifying Mary.
Cool. There you go. Yeah. You learn something new every day.
Still a little Protestant theology there for you. Sneak it in.
So Mary's with Elizabeth, and this this is what I'm preaching on yesterday. So
I'm sure you did great.
Right.
Yeah, nailed it.
Right.
And Elizabeth has this fun interaction. She's carrying John the Baptist, and John the Baptist,
and she's like 6 months pregnant at this point.
Leaps for joy
Woo.
In the womb once she hears once he hears Mary's voice.
His little fist bump.
Right.
Yeah. I don't know what that means, leaping for joy in the womb, but that's
probably. I mean, you can feel a baby kick or like turn over. Like moms can feel that, right?
Oh yeah.
But, yeah. Yeah. How pregnant was she?
About six months.
6 months.
Yeah.
Yeah. So John the Baptist is super excited because Mary's there, and Elizabeth says some really beautiful things, and then Mary's response is to sing a song. Like, this is their first interaction. Like, it's been a long journey.
Right.
I got a song for you.
Very musical flavor to it.
Yeah,
you can feel it coming from a distance.
Somebody needs to put Mary to bed.
Someone's about to break in the song. I can feel it.
Yeah, it's interesting. Like, she's been preparing this poem or song, and you know, or maybe it's like, hey. Freestyle. I don't know.
Yeah.
Drop a beat.
Right.
Yeah.
Let's hit it.
Okay. So this is the Magnificat, and I'm going to read all of it here.
Okay.
Okay.
And Mary said, and this is from Luke chapter 2, starting verse 46. So, and Mary said, My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the mighty one has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down the rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. And he has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, just as he promised our ancestors. Boom. That's Mary's Magnificat.
Nailed it.
All right. What stands out to you? Let's just do that.
Sort of an interesting level of self-awareness to say that future generations are going to call you blessed based on like this. Because, I mean, she's talking about it as it's just started to happen, right? Yeah. It's not, how do you know the scope of what that's going to mean?
Yeah.
Is that a lucky guess or?
Yeah, well, I mean, I think, you know, biblically we can point back to what Gabriel says to her. I think that's probably a piece of it. But I think there's also reason to believe that Mary is speaking in a way prophetically here, as opposed to just, you know, hey, I got a song in my heart that I just got to let out. Like, I really feel like we don't call it Mary's prophecy, but I feel like that might be in some ways a better title for it.
Yeah.
And so I think she's, you know, speaking from a place of a knowledge beyond herself.
Right.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah, I agree. But I think this is awesome that she's like, she has this, whether the prophecy or inwardly unawareness that by her connection to Jesus, she's all of a sudden become the most famous Israelite girl like that maybe is ever going to live. Like all of a sudden, boom, elevated to that level through not her talent or ability, but through her humility.
Right.
And I think that's really, really powerful.
Yeah.
That's probably also sort of extra significant, too, if she is sort of being sent away more or less as a result of a scandal, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, because that you know, there are historical stories of that, right? And it's a devastating thing for most people. But for her to have that awareness and that attitude going into that is interesting. I'm sure it's probably interesting for Elizabeth as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. You know, we were having a conversation about this last night as of recording time, not as of release time. And one of the things that we were talking about was Mary's song and, you know, kind of using this prophetic language, but then realizing that Luke was not like standing right there next to her watching this interaction, mm-hmm. right? Somehow this interaction with Elizabeth got passed down to Luke, maybe from Mary herself, right. maybe from someone who knew Mary. But ultimately what comes to us, we believe, is inspired by the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. And so the question that came up last night is, you know, is this what Mary actually said? I was like, well, for me, it's not the right question, right? You know, whether or not Mary showed up and said these exact words to Elizabeth is not nearly as important as why this is the message that has been passed down for the last 2,000 years. What is it about these words now that matter to us? Mm-hmm. And so for me, like, you know, how did Mary have this knowledge, right? How did she know what was going to happen? Well, maybe she knew what was going to happen because Luke is writing this after the fact, right?
Right.
Maybe we're able to have that retrospective there. But I think that for us in the story, right, if Luke is writing a gospel to tell us who Jesus is and how Jesus matters for our life, to start with a character such as the mother of this Jesus, mm-hmm. saying, hey, this is what's going to happen, and basically right. saying from the beginning, I'm going to be called blessed because of what my son is going to do, mm-hmm. it sets us as a reader up to know, to be paying attention to what's going to be happening to Jesus.
Yeah.
Any other things stand out in the Magnificat?
I like that we were supposed to raise up the lowly, bring down the proud.
Kick them while they're down.
bring down the proud and, you know, take the rulers from their thrones and things like that. Like,
sure.
You know, realizing, like, God, it's this reminder that God is in control. It's this yeah. reminder that, you know, we look around and we see all these earthly powers of kings and emperors and nowadays presidents and whatever, right? But ultimately God is still God. Mm-hmm. And there is no earthly power that is not, that is above God, I guess right. would be a better way to say that, yeah.
Yeah, and attached to it, like when Mary and the angel Gabriel speak, and mm-hmm. you know, Gabriel is telling her, like, and your son, you know, people will call him Christ as Lord. Like, that is revolutionary. What mm-hmm. things are that, and not just like this is new and fresh, like literally revolutionary.
Right.
Like she is like the first, you know, soldier in this new yeah. army that's coming that is going to turn the world on its head in a sense, and that isn't quite here yet, the world that is supposed to be turned on.
Sure.
But is, you know, she is the first person who's saying, like, this is what the world is going to look like, whether that's in my generation, the next, or the next, or the next, or when the final gong hits, this is what the world is going to look like. And it is powerful and, again, has a very risky and revolutionary message attached to mm-hmm. it. Because either were the lowly being raised up, or were the rich and powerful being brought down?
Yeah.
You're one of the two. And, like, there's no third option with that option. It's not saying, like, I'm one of the rich, but I'm one of the good ones yeah. like, in that situation. Like,
I'm not all bad.
Or I'm one of the lowly, but I'm so broken and in pain that I'll never be brought up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There is no, again, according to Mary, and I think this is truth, there is no third option. You're one or the other.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're probably a middle-class American, you're going to find yourself probably a little bit closer to that rich.
Yeah.
And that includes me. Like,
yeah.
That I'm a little bit closer to somebody who's being brought down mm-hmm. in the kingdom of God instead of one of the people who's being brought up.
Right. And I think we should be clear, right? Brought down does not necessarily mean, like, brought down into eternal damnation or anything like that, right? Like, brought, you know, there's an equity that comes. Mm-hmm. I don't remember if we've talked about it here. This is just a theme that occurs in my life, right? But it's the raising up and the bringing down to a point of level equity, right? It's yeah. not a reversal of roles.
Right.
It's an equity across sure. the board. Yeah.
Yeah. Tear down the mountains, fill up the valleys. Mm-hmm. We're all on one plane.
And then you've got Houston. Flat.
Sure.
It's flooding. Yeah.
Probably.
If it's flat, right. It's probably yeah. is.
That's yeah. the reason.
Yeah. Yeah. So this is a powerful thing. And so when Mary is saying these words, again, they're not just beautiful, which they are,
mm-hmm.
they're an affront to the Roman government,
yeah.
the rulers of the time. They still are.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and so she is known for generation to generations. Not only for her, like, connection to Jesus, but I think also for her belief in this, mm-hmm. That she's not here because she's crazy talented or super beautiful or really smart and eloquent, even though this is pretty smart and eloquent stuff.
Like, she might be all those things.
Yeah, right. but she is not those. We do not know her for those things. Yep. Not based on her Instagram followers. She's not an influencer. But it's through her humility.
She's the original influencer.
Right.
Well, it's through her humility and her trust in what God has done is doing something powerful.
Yeah.
And I think that's really incredible.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So any other thoughts here on Mary?
I don't have any problems with Mary. I think Mary's important. But like my faith doesn't hinge on Mary, right? Like, mm-hmm. like for me, the centrality of my faith, and maybe this is too strong because I'm not a Catholic. I've not spent a lot of time studying this. But from the outside looking in, it often feels like for a lot of Catholics, their faith hinges on Mary and this story, right? Mm-hmm. Not just the Magnificat, but like the story of Jesus being conceived in this particular way and being born in this particular way. And for Mary, like to have an entire feast festival about how Mary was conceived in a miraculous way so that Jesus could be conceived in a which is not anywhere in scripture, right?
Right.
This is something that's pulled completely outside of the Bible itself. And so for me, there's just so much extra building that we have to do for that to be a hinge point that it just seems like it seems easier and simpler and more faithful to scripture to say, Mary is great and really important and has valuable things to say, but the hinge point of my faith is Christ and the crucifixion and resurrection, not Christ and or Jesus and his birth.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's enough as it is, right?
Yeah.
Like this can still be beautiful just like this. And like, I don't need to get into the weeds of whether or not Mary was immaculately conceived for this
probably not.
To be. I'm going to say
from our perspective,
if I'm going to get into those weeds, I'm going to come out with the answer of no.
Yeah. I don't need to go into those weeds, but if
I don't
do
want those weeds,
the text does not suggest it.
Right.
There's nothing to say there.
Right. Yeah. And that's fine for me. Yep. You know, I would say the hinge point of my faith is always going to be the resurrection.
Yeah.
You know,
it's also fine for me that Mary and Joseph had other kids.
Sure.
That doesn't change Jesus.
Siblings are fun.
Yep. I like siblings. Yeah.
I mean, that must have been like one heck of a shadow to grow up in. But can you imagine? Like,
yeah. Your brother's the son of God.
Why can't you be more like Jesus?
Yeah. We all already got that. But then imagine that Jesus was actually your brother.
I'm sure he was great.
I'm sure he was a great brother. But still, you know, like when you're coming home with a B on your test, you're like, I'm so proud.
Jesus
got that A+. You're like, come on, Jesus.
Every time. Like, he literally wrote this thing, Mom.
Yeah. And you're like, he just disappears for 3 days and everybody's fine with it.
You got some big older brother from the prodigal son energy going on there. That's nice.
Well, Well, that's what happens in Luke's gospel, right?
He
disappears.
He's setting it up.
All right. Well, Merry Christmas.
Merry
Christmas.
Hey-o. From all of us here at Beyond Sunday and Lord of Life.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Every one of us.
Well, the three of us. There's all really not another person from Beyond Sunday that's not one of the three of us.
We're still waiting on the intern.
Yeah.
One of these days.
Somebody to edit this, to put it on the, you know.
Scoot our mics closer to our faces.
And we need someone to do the actual work.
Somebody else can come in and just record the podcast.
No, we want to record. This is the fun part.
Right.
We just need someone to do the labor.
We just need a guy over there who's like listening in, adjusting levels.
Like texting us research when we need it.
Yeah.
Give me a topic.
It's called the Magnificat. That's what I need.
So I don't have to look for it every week. Yeah. That's what I'm... Yeah.
All right. Well, hey, if you liked this episode or any of our other episodes, this is a great time of year to give the gift of Beyond Sunday. So take a moment to share this with friends and family. Let this be a part of your Christmas and New Year celebrations as you move through this holiday season. And we will see you. No, we'll see you next week.
Yeah.
We'll still have one more episode in 2021.
We do have one more episode.
I won't say Happy New Year to you yet then.
Not yet.
But you can send us all of your Christmas greetings and all of your thoughts on Mary at beyondsundaypodcast@gmail.com.
Absolutely. Take a page out of like the 1950s, like gather around the radio and just listen to a Beyond Sunday episode, like all together.
Just like while you're at dinner, you know, instead of turning on Mariah Carey's Christmas album, just turn on Beyond Sunday. It'll be lovely.
Eat dinner in silence, listening to us. That's what we're saying.
Hey, some of your family Christmases would all be better if you all ate in silence. Let's not deny that.
That's true. If your uncle is coming to Christmas, you're like, hey, let's just eating in silence may be the best possible solution to your Christmas.
How racist is your family? We can help.
It doesn't even have to be racist. Sometimes you just really don't want to talk to your family. That happens.
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah. All right, well, Merry Christmas, everybody.
We love your families. Mm-hmm. Every one of them.
We love our families.
I do. We should probably specify. Not our families.
Yeah.
Other
families. Our
families
are great.
Yeah. Your family I like probably more than my own sometimes. So not my wife and kid, they're great. But you know, like,
not my immediate family.
Yeah. You know, the extended family. You know. I'm probably not gonna see them this Christmas anyway, so even better. Great. All right, thanks for listening, buddy. We'll be back next week with more Beyond Sunday.